Journalists covering the protests over George Floyd's death are coming under attack themselves. An anchor for Australia's 7 News was outside of the White House this week when this happened.
We've just had to run about a block as police moved in. We've been fired at with rubber bullets. My cameraman has been hit. We've also seen tear gas being used. Here we go, they're moving through again. This is exactly what it looks like.
That video shut off when the cameraman was punched by a police officer. Well, adding to the physical violence, the media industry has been decimated by the loss of ad revenue caused by the pandemic. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joins us now with more on this. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, I want to start with what was happening even before these protests. Just in the last 2 months, we saw The Atlantic lay off nearly 20% of its staff. The LA Times cut pay by 20% until August. McClatchy furloughed around 4% of its staff at 30 papers around the country. What's going on, first of all, with the big print companies right now?
Yeah, let's not forget Gannett, which owns well over 100 newspapers. Dailies has furloughed employees 1 week out of every month for the next several months, and it's not clear that won't continue into the future. You know, these were companies that were really financially getting crunched before the pandemic. Some of them through self-inflicted wounds, some of them through debt. McClatchy's trying to go through bankruptcy and come out the other side. And then the pandemic hits. And it's really vaporized a lot of the advertising base that still sustained the print editions for what we think of as old-fashioned news organizations in print. And that's been important. A lot of the smaller news organizations have seen some digital subscriptions help them, but not enough. And they're trying to build, and they're seeing some success during these waves, these layers of crises affecting us as people are turning to reliable news. But, you know, they've got a lot of ground to make up. Print ads pay so much more than digital, and digital ads have a lot of them have gone away.
Well, and when it comes to the smaller publications, the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com furloughed 10% of staffers temporarily. The Stranger in Seattle suspended print and laid off 18 people. You know, the last several years, we've talked many times about the importance of local newspapers in America. Are they going to be able to recover from this?
Yeah, I think there's a sizable number that won't. If you think about those news weeklies, those alternative weeklies, a lot of them seem to me to be on a razor's edge. If you think about newspapers in smaller regions, more sparsely populated, where they've been expected to distribute them. That's expensive. A lot of those places don't have financial padding to sustain for months and months of this kind of economic pressure. I think a significant number are going to go out of business in ways that are not going to be easily replaced.
And what do we lose when that happens, David?
I think we lose the texture of our lives in many cases. I think you endure the understanding of what happens to your neighbors across town or even just down the block. You don't see the full understanding of the rhythms of a community, and you don't have an accountability to the same extent of government agencies and major institutions and players in a region and a community. There may be more hands that are hidden, so to speak, in communities that have increasingly constricted news outlets. And in this case, not constricted by government pressure, but in this case, by just unfathomably large economic pressures that may sweep some of these away.
Broadcast media are not immune from this. CBS News cut 75 jobs last week. President Susan Zirinsky told employees on a Zoom meeting she was really sorry. NPR has furloughed workers, as has American Public Media. What's happening in broadcast media right now?
Well, let's take CBS. You know, a lot of those cuts are because of cost trimming around the COVID crisis. But what you're seeing there is the result of corporate decisions. The decision to merge Viacom back with CBS. They had once been part of the same company, were split apart, now brought back together in a way that requires for it to make sense to make cuts. In this case, Susan Zirinsky, the head of CBS News, said, this is painful, but this is what we have to do. And I'm sure that the economic crisis caused by COVID is part of that as well.
Let's talk about the protests. The group U.S. Press Freedom Tracker says it's investigating more than 100 incidents of journalists being targeted during protests. There have been numerous stories of reporters hit by rubber bullets or arrested even after identifying themselves. What do you make of that? Is this just random incidents where police happen to be going after reporters, or is there something else going on here?
You know, you haven't seen some major law enforcement official come forward like Bull Connor in the civil rights days to say, yeah, you're darn right we're going after them. And at the same time, it's too consistent in city after city, reporters not simply getting caught up in the melee, but being singled out. Yes, there have been reporters arrested, but there have also been reporters hit, as you say, by rubber bullets, hit by tear gas canisters. I talked to Molly Hennessy Fisk of the Los Angeles Times, a hardened war correspondent, as well as experienced police reporter. She had a gaping wound in her leg after being hit by a tear gas canister. And you saw a reporter from the Wall Street Journal being essentially hit repeatedly and intentionally, even though it's very clear that he's a reporter and identified as such, by a cop using his riot shield to kind of club the reporter. And you haven't seen police chiefs all over, with a few exceptions, coming out and saying, I'm sorry, that's not an example of our policies, our procedures. There was one case, our public radio colleague Adolfo Guzman Lopez of KPCC Southern California Public Radio, where he was shot in the throat with a rubber bullet, really bruised and bled. It caused a real wound there. And the police chief and the mayor of Long Beach, California did come out and apologize to him. But that's been more the exception than the rule. I think you've seen this in towns from D.C. to Denver. It seems in some ways to have been hardened by rhetoric from the top, where police unions have been strongly in support in many cities of the president, and his rhetoric against the press seems to be part of that.
Well, and are you concerned based on all of this? And as you say, the president has called media organizations fake news, enemies of the people, that the First Amendment, the protection of the freedom of the press, those protections are being eroded right now.
I think that's certainly a fair conclusion, at least in this precise moment. I'm not saying enduringly, but, you know, patterns of behavior can have ways of becoming norms. So let's remember, the First Amendment and freedom of speech applies to all Americans. There's no licensing for journalists that gives us a ton of extra protections, although there are some around the margins about our behavior. Reporters are often allowed to go behind police lines to interview people on both sides of a protest. But really, it's meant to protect all Americans. But if someone from Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, if someone from CNN can get arrested, even though they're backed not only by one of the nation's largest news organizations, but by parent company AT&T, a huge multinational giant. If those people can't have their freedom of speech, essentially, of the press, respected by police, what can ordinary citizens expect who don't have such gigantic figures in institutions behind them? What can they expect for their freedom to assemble, their freedom to speak? I think that's a real question that hangs over all of this. And I think that's why paying attention to what happens to journalism is important, both because it affects what kind of news coverage we can offer the public, but it also serves as a warning for what the public itself can expect at the hands of the people who act under the color of public authority.
That is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thanks as always.
You bet.